Corinthians chapter 15. So if you were able to tune in this morning or you were in-house, you heard Pastor preach about a God that has no limits. And it was a very, very powerful, powerful sermon. So I simply want to continue in the same vein. And this morning I'll be preaching on a story that everybody in here should know, the story of David and Goliath. It's a very well-known story, so I ask you, don't tune me out just because you think you know how this ends. I can guarantee you that I'm going to kind of go a different route that you might have heard, so please don't tune me out. This is me saying focus, trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and don't just focus on the battle of David and Goliath, but trust that God will show you something new this morning. So this morning, Pastor preached about a God with no limits. And he truly said that we serve a God that can do anything. But oftentimes, we are the ones that put limits on him. We are the ones that tend to limit him with our doubt, with our fear, with the thoughts that we have. And what's interesting is this is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, the scripture reads, "O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through Christ, we know that we have the victory. Through Christ, we know that the battle has been won. But yet, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So on one hand, we know that we have the victory, right? But on the other hand, Peter is saying, yeah, you might have the victory, but this devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have the victory in the battle, but yet we have other battles that we have to face. So although the big battle has been won by Jesus, you and I still have battles that we face daily. Raise your hand if you don't have battles. Raise your hand if life is just great all the time. So we all in here have battles that we face. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul writes saying this, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So Paul is saying here that, yes, Jesus has won our biggest battle, but we have other battles. And in these battles, we have to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand, not against the devil himself, but against the wiles of the devil. So my question is, what are wiles? Wiles are simply schemes and methods that the devil likes to use to make us limit God. See, as Pastor preached this morning, God can't do anything. But we are the ones who put limits on him. We are the ones who make him say, "Wait a minute, I can't bless that. Wait a minute, they have doubt. They don't trust me." So Paul here is saying that we have to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And this is where the devil does his best work. We often think about the devil as this big bad guy with horns and a red face and all this stuff. But the devil truly is in the details. He truly is in those small little areas of our lives where we take it for granted. And the devil knows this, that he cannot defeat God. As we just read, Jesus has won the battle for us. So what does the devil do? He does the next best thing. He makes us limit the hand of God because he knows that victory is in Christ. He knows that victory has been won on that cross. But if he stops us from living a crucified life, then we disqualify ourselves from that victory. So let me take you back 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Two nations find themselves at the tipping point of a century-long war. Now, on one hand, you have Israel. On the other hand, you have the nation of the Philistine. And they were on the verge of the battle that would change everything. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. And once again, you've heard this story before. It's the story of David and Goliath. And it's easy to think that you know the story just because you've read it. But trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Amen? So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, they were on the battlefield. Israel on your right hand, Philistine on your left-hand side. And right before the battle was about to start, verse 4 says, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Drop down to verse 8. And Goliath, it says this, that he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me." Verse 9. "If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So before the battle even started, Israel was defeated. Before they can get down to the valley and actually fight, Israel was already defeated. This is the first wow that often the devil will use. The devil comes as fear. And fear is often tied to an expert opinion. So if you go with me to verses 4-7 of the same chapter, it lists everything great about Goliath. He was 8 foot tall. He was big. Armor, this, that. And oftentimes, fear comes with a qualified badge. Fear comes from your doctor. Fear comes from the bank. Fear comes from the government, the CDC. Fear comes from somebody that you respect, saying, "Hey, this is how you should do it." And you either choose to bow to it or you do something else. So this is one of the ways that the devil can get us to actually disqualify ourselves. As I said, when Saul and all of Israel heard these things, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the goal of fear is simple. The goal of fear is to stop you from even going to the battlefield. The goal of fear is to stop you from even making your way down to the battlefield. Now, ask yourself why. Because victory is on the battlefield, not from the battlefield. Like the three Hebrew boys, victory was in the fire, not from the fire. As Pastor preached this morning, surely, if we were saying, "Okay, God, this king is about to burn me," we would think that, okay, God will maybe quench the fire, or God will send an angel to take us from the place. But truly, what God did is he let them get in the fire, because the victory is in the fire. It's on the battlefield, not from the battlefield. And the enemy knows that. So the enemy likes to come with a sweet voice and say, "Hey, just bow to me right here. It's okay. You don't have to get in that fire. You don't have to get in that valley. You can be my servant. You can live with me. It's okay. I'll take care of you." And that is what we see here, that David, his first battle that he faced was the battle of fear. In verse 20, we see that David, like Jesus, is sent by his father to check on his brothers. So David was not at the battle at the start. Goliath just made his speech, and David is then sent by his father. And in verse 23, we see here that David, it says this, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to them the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, once again, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were afraid. Verse 26 says this, then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So the first thing that David did when he encountered fear was that he did not respond in fear, but he sought the promise. He stood and said, what is the promise? See, oftentimes when we encounter fear, we simply just run with it. But David is showing here that, no, when you encounter fear, you say to yourself, wait a minute, what does the Bible say? What does my king say? What does the word of God say? Don't just take fear at his word. Truly check with what this thing is saying and say, hey, does this line up with what the word of God is saying? You know, during COVID, I know we all lived through that. That was a very wild time. And you truly saw who had faith and who didn't have faith. And I'm not saying that to bash anybody for, you know, doing whatever they felt they needed to do. But truly, you saw who truly did believe that their life was in the hands of God and who thought that it was in other things. So David sought the promise of the king. We counter fear by opening the scripture and saying, what does my king say about this? We also counter fear by speaking the actual promise of God. See, David, what he said was just a little bit different that if you're not paying attention, you would not catch it. Everybody kept saying that Goliath came to defy Israel. But David said, Goliath came to what? Defy the living armies of God. You counter fear by how you speak. You have to change how you speak. Because if you speak and respond like the rest of the world, you are moving in fear like the rest of the world. So David sought the promise of the king, and then from that, he also spoke differently. The second wiles or scheme or method that the devil uses to limit what God can do in our lives is offense. Drop down to verse 28. So David is on the battlefield and he's speaking to the man saying, hey, what is the king going to do for someone who kills this giant? And verse 28 says, when David's older brother heard that he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep within the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle. So sometimes it's very easy to pass the battle of fear. It's very easy to have faith and say, hey, I'm not with them. When that fear is coming from your television or the government or for something outside. But what happens when someone in your own family is going sideways on you? What happens when someone is trying to offend you? See, David knew that this was a battle. And oftentimes, we disqualify ourselves because we are simply easily offended. We disqualify ourselves because we have taken something that someone said to heart, and we can't even pray for them. And God is saying, I want to use you to change their lives, but you're so deeply wounded that you can't pray for them. And I get it. We live in a generation where everybody is a victim. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody wants to say that this person did this and that side and the white man and the black man and this. Everybody is a victim of somebody. But that's the beauty of this, is that David knew that his goal was to get to the battlefield. See, sometimes we get offended and we turn from the battlefield to the person that offended us. Now all our energy and effort and time is spent on this person when God is saying, move this way. And we're like, nah, I'm going to tell them how I feel. And David is here walking this out saying, okay, I know God has called me to be the next king. I know I'm here for a reason. I cannot let my own family stop me from doing what God has called me to do. And I love David's response in verse 29 because it shows you that David was human. You know, God is not looking for the perfect response. He's just looking for someone that doesn't stop. See, David said in verse 29, he said, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? So catch that word now. That meant that this brother had done this in the past. That meant that this was a sore spot in David. Why are you always messing with me? So David knew that, okay, man, this is the one brother that keeps on messing with me. Okay. So David's response was not perfect, but yet he did not let that disqualify him or stop him from moving in the way that God wanted him to move. And our response doesn't have to be perfect as well. But God is looking for people that put their hand on the plow and don't look back. Yes, you might fall. Yes, you might stumble. Yes, you might have off days where you don't feel like it. But keep on moving the way God has called you to move. And in verse 30, it simply says, then he turned from him and toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one. So David simply turned away. Sometimes it's that simple. Don't give it life. Just turn away. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Thank you. Now I'm going to keep on going and do what God has called me to do. Because the goal of offense is simple. Sure, you can stand on the battlefield. Just face the wrong way. Don't look at the enemy. Look at the person that hurt you. Look at your trauma. Look at how you were raised. Look at your parents. Look at all the reasons why you're not the person you think that you should be, and focus on that instead of what God has called you to do. And oftentimes I marveled at, so in Acts 4, and this is just a segue, but in Acts 4, we see that the men and women of God in Acts 4, they were beaten by the government of that day. And instead of having a protest and yelling and screaming, what did they do? They went back home and they prayed for more boldness to go out and keep on preaching. See, God wants to use you, but if you are easily offended, if you can't say, Lord, I get it. They might beat me. They might curse me out. They might look down on me, but I still want to be used by you. There are certain people that God cannot use you to reach, because you will be offended by them, by how they look, by how they think, by who they even vote for. Amen. I know that was kind of quiet, but hey, you know, okay. The third battle that David faced before he got to the real battle is the battle of doubt. In verse 33, David is finally brought before King Saul. And King Saul says to David, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. So doubt loves to remind you of the facts. Doubt loves to say, yeah, but you come from a small country and nobody in your country has ever done that. Yeah, I know you went to school, you got good grades, but it's really who you know, not what you have in your head. So you'll never be that. Doubt loves to look at the resume and say, well, yeah, you got a good resume, but it doesn't quite match up. So David responds to this doubt. And in verses 34 and 36, he then begins to tell King Saul of his own testimony, of his own personal experience with God, speaking about how the lion and bear came up against him and God gave him victory over those things. So the first cure for doubt is respond with the faithfulness of God. Don't respond with your own mind. Think back to all the things that God has done for you and then begin to speak those things over that doubt. And then in verse 37, it says that, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And catch this. It says this. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Verse 38. So Saul seems like he has faith in him. But then he says this. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. So doubt doesn't mind if you go to battle. Just take some doubt with you. Doubt says, yeah, sure. Go to battle. Just take some doubt with you. Just take some, yeah, God can do it, but just in case he doesn't do it, I'll call my uncle and he'll help me out. You know, God is going to come through for me, but just in case he doesn't do it, I have a backup plan. See, doubt doesn't mind if you step out there as long as you don't have full faith in God. Doubt is that little thing that sits there on your shoulder day in and day out. Even though you have verbally said that you have faith in God, it's that little voice that says, yes, God can do it, but just in case, have a backup plan. And like the three Hebrew boys, they said to the king that we believe that our God can deliver us and will, but if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. That's the kind of faith that we have to have, that I have no backup plan. It's either God does it or I fail. It's either God comes through for me or I fail. And it's that simple. And we see here that, once again, doubt doesn't mind if you go into battle as long as you take it with you. Which is why Paul said that we must lay aside every weight. See, doubt is a weight. When you're stepping into battle, you have to be as light and nimble as possible. But if you're carrying this thing with you on one hand, then you cannot swing with this hand. So you have to lay down that doubt and trust that God will be who he says he is. Because as Pastor preached this morning, God can do all things. But oftentimes we limit him because of fear, because we are offended, and because of doubt. Verse 39 says this, and David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. It's really simple. You know, doubt is one of those things where it's going to come. You're going to have people that doubt you, moments where you even doubt yourself. And you simply have to make that choice. Do I take this thing with me or do I take it off? When I first started preaching, as someone who grew up stuttering, like would skip class when they said, hey, Ike, it's time to speak. No, bro, I'm skipping class. Like, I am not speaking in front of nobody. Like, why would I want to subjugate myself to stand there and no. So I was that person. And so when I first started to preach, doubt came in and said, well, maybe get one of those earpieces that help you speak better. Maybe get some type of tool that can kind of help you calm yourself down. You know, do something right to kind of help God be God. See, doubt is that small little voice that says to you, yes, God can do it, but just in case, help him out. Have a backup plan. And I've seen it all through my life that every time I've just stepped out, every time I've just said, God, it's either I step out there and do what you've called me to do, or I fail. Man, his grace has been so, so much. It's been, mind-blowing. To the point where sometimes I'm like, I don't know who this guy is because it's not really me, right? So, man, I'm telling you, doubt is that small little voice. Even at my job, I'm someone that I let you know exactly how I feel. And at my job, I've been blessed to be there for about 10 years now, and I'm in a very great role. And with this role comes some off-the-clock meetings and things that they do. And I remember last year, we had a manager's meeting that we had from about 8 a.m. to about 4 p.m. Then at 6 p.m., they went to like a little bowling place. And my boss's bosses, they were like, where's Ike? And I had to actually say like, no, like, I have to be at church on Tuesday. I have to be at prayer. So my life is not based on what you guys are doing. And sometimes that little small voice comes in and says, well, don't be so bold because you might lose your job. Don't be so I'm about Christ because they might not like how that sounds. But I've seen that as I've been bold, people will respond to how bold you are for Christ. And people will actually be like, okay, he actually stands for something. And people will respect it. And even if they don't, that's okay. Because it's you and him. It's not you and them. So I've seen God truly, truly be faithful. As I've just said, okay, God, yes, I have doubts, but I'm not going to take it with me. I'm not going to take that doubt to the stage. I'm not going to take that doubt to my job. I'm not going to take that doubt to my wife. Even my wife knows that sometimes she'll come at me with something she's going through, and she could just see on my face, I'm like, you're talking about this problem too much. What does the word of God say? Like, I'm not trying to go back and forth right now, you know? And that's just how I am wired, because truly, I know that I am limited. As smart as I am, as wise as I might seem, I am a limited human being. Only he knows all. So why would I waste my time just going over all the details of the problem when I could just go to the one that actually has the actual answer? Amen? So we see here that truly, as Pastor said this morning, God can do all things. But truly, sometimes we are the one that limit him. We limit him because of fear, because we are offended, and because of doubt. So as I close, let me say this. The story of David and Goliath is truly not a story about us and Goliath. It's a story about Jesus. He is the true David. He is the one that went to the battlefield and won that war for us. So the story of David and Goliath is about him. But just like we are called to be just like Jesus, we can learn from this story. Because in the story, we see that we will all have private battles that we face. Yes, Jesus has won the big war, but we have battles that we face. We have things that we go through every single day, whether it's fear, whether it's a family member that offends us, or whether it's just that little small voice of doubt that says that, nope, you can't do it because you are not qualified, because you don't have this, because you don't have that. We all go through those things. So as we close this morning, I just want to say this. Just take a moment, search your own heart, talk to God, and just ask him and say, Father, is there any place where I've let fear, I've let doubt, or I've been too offended and you simply could not use me? Is there any place where I've put limits on you? Is there any place where you wanted me to step into the battlefield and do something great with my life, but I lost out because I was too fearful, because of doubt, because someone said something wrong to me And I took it to heart. Father, we just come before you this morning knowing that you are able to do all things, knowing that you are true to your word, that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, that we can say to that mountain, be thou cast into the ocean, and so it will be. But oftentimes, Lord, we put the limits on you. Oftentimes, we are too fearful to step out. Oftentimes, we are too offended to speak to somebody. Oftentimes, we have doubt, Lord. So, Father, we simply just lay those things down right now. We don't want to take those things home with us. We want to trust you to be who you say you are. We want to trust you to be the God that when we open our mouth, we know that you will fill it. We want to trust you to be the God that this Bible says that you will be. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. We just ask that you help us, Lord. Help us, Father, not to limit you. Help us not to put limits on you, because truly you are able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly. Father, we trust you. We trust you, Lord God, but help us to trust you more this morning.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Ike. What a great sermon. Both this morning and at 11 o'clock, they both were in sync. That we must have complete and total faith and trust in God, because he is the Almighty. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for him. And if we believe that and we go to him, he will show us what to do. Amen. We thank you this morning for coming out. Those of you in-house and those online, we thank you for joining us. I have just a few announcements this morning. If you haven't already given, we ask that you please support us as we get the word out all over. And November 7th is Ignite Prayer, and that will be from 10 o'clock to 12. And if you are interested, come on out to the church. That it's on a Friday night. Thanksgiving baskets are available. If you need one or know someone that needs one, you can go to the website, and it's under outreach and then community assistance. And if you need if you have any questions about it or need to see someone, you can see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia Jasper. And this coming Saturday, it is daylight savings time. So don't forget to set your clocks back an hour. We will be falling back. And so I'm going to say a quick prayer, if you all would stand. If you can. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being God that can do anything exceedingly, abundantly, and above of what we ask. God, you are so great and so wonderful. When you lead us to somewhere, help us to have the boldness to go through whatever it is that you are sending us through. Help us, if that doubt comes in, to shut it down. It's unfamiliar territory that you may send us to, and it may be scary, but we just pray that you just lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, and we will trust you so that you will get the glory out of what it is that we're going through. And I pray, Father God, that the offering that is taken up today and the offering that is about to be given, God, that you will just bless it tenfold, that we may be able to put your word all over, and that others will know of you and who you are. I pray this prayer in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.